Okay, let's discuss a little bit, and I'm going to need your women, you women's help. We are teaching the daughters, and I'm going to need your help, so please be open and free to share. What body parts of a woman are considered attractive or considered, it is known worldwide pretty well, that is the body part that is a cause in which a man can somewhere have a temptation. Can you help me? The breast, okay. We'll talk about the bust line. Something else? The hip, that's good. Well, this lady doesn't have a lot, but it's true. The hips is another point I had remembered. Legs, okay. And what's this? The waist. That's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the bust line, the waist, the hips, and the legs. That is where you are different from a man. A man tends to be, you know, more straight. A woman is all curvy. A lot of them are. You have a curve over your bust. You have a curve in by your waist. You have a curve out over your hips. And the calves of your legs and the thighs of your legs, they're curved. Our responsibility in being modest is to hide these curves from eyes which are not meant to see them. And something I want you to remember as I am doing this, you can go put those clothing on. Something I want you to remember is a suggestive hint is much worse than actual sight many times. And we think, well, you know, I'm covered, but just the suggestion of it is what often makes people think. And I'm getting my sisters to put some clothing on, and I beg your patience. It is not what I consider modest, and that is why I am presenting this, and I can't say that they exactly enjoy the thought of doing this. So be patient with them. Okay, first of all, we're going to talk about how to cover this area. Let's look at our necklines, first of all. Or rather, while they're in there, I'll bring something else out. Let's look at the point of hugging sweaters. You put a sweater on, you have three or four layers on, so you can't go by... You cannot go by the amount of layers you have on. This sweater is loose, and it's very cuddly. We like our cuddly sweaters, and I don't blame you for it. How many of you women think that it would be possible for a man to have wrong thoughts about this? Some not. I realize this is a fairly loose sweater, but I just wanted to bring a point out. With the sweaters that we wear, let's wear something that has a cuff in the bottom that loosens this up a little bit, or get something that has body. Just whatever you do, don't wear something that when you walk into a room, immediately, without really trying to, other people's eyes are just zoom. They just zoom right in at your breast area. And I was a little hesitant about this sweater because I realized it's so borderline in some, but as a whole, you are still showing very definitely two separate shapes in the front. And people's eyes will zoom into there. And I'm just cautioning you to be careful with the vest, with the sweaters that you wear in that area, that you don't wear something that very definitely leaves two rounded bulges hanging out. Okay. Okay, another thing I wanted to bring out is this. We think, okay, my ministry and my mother or whoever says I should wear a double layer. So my focus gets to be on the fact of a double layer. I have a fairly good neckline on here. I have a modest skirt. And I'm wearing a double layer, and I feel pretty good about myself. Do you think that could be room for temptation? Can you ladies over there see? It doesn't matter how many layers we wear. One of the main things we need to avoid is showing the full curve. One thing I wanted to bring out was this. We are women, and modesty means to be moderate. And it is very hard sometimes, if we are moderate and not overboard in our dress, to not show any resemblance of a shape. But one of the main things is this. We have a curve here. We have a curve in the back and the curve of our legs. We are avoiding a lot of immodesty. Sometimes we can't help it if the curve comes out. But what we need to watch at all times with the curves in our body is that the underside of the curve is not shown. We as women, it's hard to dress, you know, practically without swimming in our things, without coming out a little bit. But you are immodest once you begin to show the underside of your curve, giving someone a good idea of the size of your bust. Same way with the hips. The hips are our focal points, something that you can make someone fall. If you have a waist, your dress will naturally come out a little bit over your waist, over your hips. But avoid anything. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'll put it up. What we are to avoid is showing the underside of the hips. That's when it becomes immodest, because people are getting a good idea of what size your hips are. Same way with the bust, like I have said, I'll show you again. Sometimes coming out is almost impossible if we want to be practical, not swim in our dresses. But what we can help is this, showing the underside of the curve. And the same way with our legs. Our legs are shaped like this in the back, the calves of our legs. If we keep our dresses long enough to always slice it right in half, that the upper side of that calf is not shown, it doesn't give the man the idea exactly how big your leg is. And I was so confident when I came to something to grab on, because sometimes there's so many things that are kind of fishy. You think, well, how do I know if it's modest or not? And suddenly I thought, that is a big point to remember. You show the one side of the curve, and I'm not saying you should show it, but sometimes, depending on how we're built, it's hard to hide it. But there is no need to show the underside of the curve and show exactly what proportion your body is. Okay, I would like to bring out a little more about hiding the chest area. I've talked about form-fitting clothing and vests and things like that. Now I'd like to bring in how a low neckline, you can come up, girls, how low necklines often give people a view that they should not have. You can stand over by this mirror. Okay. If you have a low neckline, you often look in the mirror and it's just maybe here. And you think, well, I'm modest. You can't see my breast. You can't see anything that you're not supposed to see. The thing is, you're not doing in the mirror what you do away from the mirror. Once you're away from the mirror, you're going to go down to the floor and you're going to pick up a toy to you, right, like that. Or you're going to go to the store and you think, well, I'm not doing anything with children today. I'm going shopping. And you go to the store, and without thinking, you don't think of it every time. Write out a check. The cashier can look right in. And it takes so little. It's shocking. After I started doing this modest section, I had to change some of mine. I decided I'm going to go extreme if I have to. I'm going to see, make sure that there is absolutely no way possible somebody can see in my neckline. And I went like this. Probably the best posture for you to do that is to bend over and to look in the mirror. And while you're bending over, look in the mirror, raise your head as if you're going down picking up a toy and somebody says something and you look up. Putting your hands between your legs. Pretend you're playing croquet. That's what I started doing in the mirror. And if my neckline, if you see right in there, I think, well, that doesn't pass. The reason it doesn't pass is this. We think, well, it's such a little chance somebody will see it. As a princess, and you want to glorify the Lord, do you ever give the slightest chance that the devil may gloat over your God? I got my servant to stumble because of yours. A princess cannot afford to take chances. Okay, I want you to look in the mirror and just show how little you need to bend until you can see in. Okay, now you do it. Yeah, I think you tucked it up a little bit. One thing to remember about necklines, sometimes we don't have it too bad in the front, but because we make it so wide and because it goes down further in the back, as soon as we bend forward, all that looseness kind of falls like this and leaves a space that you can see in. Another thing I wanted to bring out. Oh, another thing I wanted to bring out was this. My husband told me, and please don't think wrong thoughts about him, he was just trying to help me in this. He said it takes almost no effort, if any effort, for a tall man to look right into a woman's below neckline. You don't even have to bend over. Do you want to please the Lord? Do you want to glorify Him in every minute of your day? Or do you want the devil to gloat over the fact that his servant was able to plant wrong thoughts in God's servant? Okay, now how to cover the waist curve. I don't have a problem if you have a fitted waist, but when that becomes immodest, is one's you show very clearly the line from the tip of your breast down to your waist. You show your tiny waist in comparison to your bust line. That's when it becomes immodest. If you like the secure feeling of a waist, go ahead, put elastic in it. But make sure it's loose enough like this that it gives body, that it doesn't clearly define that underside curve. Okay, also another thing that a lot of girls are caught in is tightly tied bands. Your mother decides, well, you really must be modest. And I'm going to make that you have to be modest, and she makes a very modest jumper for you. And you don't, thank you, you don't like the thought of being so modest. You want people to think you're slim. This is a fairly modest jumper, wouldn't you say? But you don't like it. You have a little bit of the spirit of a harlot in you that wants to be noticed, and you get to your tithe. Does it make a difference? Do you think that gives man room to stumble, or a woman? I want to bring something out. Many times we think, well, if it's just women, it doesn't matter. We put more pressure on each other many times than the men do. We stumble women by making them jealous of our bodies and discontent and bitter towards their Creator simply by showing off our form many times without having any idea. Especially if you are a very shapely woman, you never face the insecurities that some face that are not as shapely as others, and you don't realize what you're doing, how discontented you are making them. I believe I read recently that 80% of women struggle when they look at magazines with clothed women because they think, I'm not that beautiful. 80% of women. Just because you're not shaped right doesn't say you're out of the ordinary or shaped exactly like the world is considering the in thing right now. And besides, the world keeps changing. Longer ago it was very shapely. Now the in thing in the world is to be as flat and thin as you can. The world continues to change. And just don't let yourself be a instrument to cause a woman to covet. Covetousness is one of the worst sins. It's mentioned in with the other sins of those that are cast into hellfire. And too often we think, well, if it's not a man, it's, you know, but we are a stumbling block to the women if we're not careful. Okay, a point to remember. It's not the style, pattern, or type of clothing that makes something immodest as much as how it fits over you. We like copying each other so much. We keep asking for patterns, and, oh, that is so beautiful, I want to try it on me. And some of that is not wrong, but sometimes we think, well, if it's modest on her, it will be modest on me, and it isn't. I mean, small-busted women can wear things that big-busted women cannot wear. And it's a blessing to them, but don't think that you can wear it just because it's okay on her. You need to continually take these body checks in the mirror to see, am I modest for myself? It doesn't matter if it's modest on somebody else. Okay, now let's talk about how to cover the hips. Low waists that rest on your hips and move with them, giving that jiggly look, is immodest because it immediately draws people's attention to your hips. Do you actually really want somebody to think of your hips? Sometimes you think, I want them to think of the form or the shape, but actually what it is, you're making people think how you look without clothing. Did you think of that? That's worse than you were really imagining it to be. Okay, the width of your skirt is another thing I would like to talk about. Both narrow and excessively gathered. Remember, modesty is being moderate. Sometimes we get so paranoid, we want to be so modest that we gather it so full and ruffle it so much that all we do is give ourselves a very hippie appearance. And that's something too to avoid. But more so even than that is to avoid the look of a very narrow skirt. Because, Lorraine, can you come here? I'm not sure if this skirt works on you or not, but turn around once. Walk a little bit. That's just slightly, but there's some skirts that are narrow that when you walk, it kind of hugs in the bottom like this here. As you're walking, it's hugging in, and it's showing the bottom side of that curve that you want to try to hide. Okay, your hips and legs should be fully covered by your skirt when going upstairs or picking objects from the floor. That skirt, the problem is, that jumper, I wanted to bring that one because when you look at it, it looks pretty modest. You cannot see the bigness of the bust, you cannot see the bigness of the waist, and you can't even really see the hips. And you look in the mirror and you think, this is a modest jumper, right? It's a fairly modest jumper. I mean, my cape dresses show as much as that thing does. But once again, what we're not doing is doing exercises in front of the mirror, which are necessary to do. Lorraine, I want you to pretend that this is a toy a child dropped on the floor and you bend down and you pick it up. Okay, freeze. Do you see that? You can get up. That is to show that not everything we do that is picking a mere thing like picking up a toy can immediately reveal our whole hip size and the size and shape of our thighs. Okay, go up the steps. Just put your leg up here. Going up the steps. You see that? You can put it down again. We are not hiding the things that need to be hidden by very narrow skirts. Now, how to cover the shape of the legs? She brought that out also by the narrowness and wideness of the skirt. But I would like to also talk about slits in the skirt. To begin with, many times slits are in the skirt because the skirt is so narrow. But there are some skirts that are fairly wide enough, but the slit is so long, I would like to tell you something to remember. Once again, a suggestive hint is worse than actual sight, and a slit is often worse than if your entire dress would be that size. I want to tell you, your skirt is no longer than the top of your slit. Can you walk sideways? The other way. Do you see that? How the leg shows right through the slit of the skirt? Your skirt is absolutely no longer than the top of your slit. You think, well, my skirt is down to my ankles. It doesn't matter if your slit is up above the calves, you're still showing your legs. Okay, you can go back and change. Thank you, girl. Okay, another thing to remember Talking about hose or thick stockings, I have nothing against either one of them, although you rather see me in them because they drive my husband crazy. He just, it goes against his grain. There's a few of those. If you wear hose, hose are supposedly very dressy, and they are. You feel dressed up in it, and that's not wrong to feel dressed up once in a while. But be especially careful about the length of your dress when you wear hose, because a hose have a way of making your legs look very attractive and sexual. And you need to be careful. Just keep that in mind. I have nothing against hose, but wear a decently long dress for sure over the calves. I mean, you know, over the mid of your calves that you can't see the other side. If you wear thick woolly stockings that the calves are not so clearly defined, it doesn't matter sometimes if the dress is a little shorter. I wouldn't advise it all the time, but it's a little different. And you think, oh, how can I? This is rather heavy. I'm not asking that you can do a Chinese split in your skirts, by all means. How often do you do a Chinese split in front of others? I'm just saying the normal activities of your day, going upstairs, picking up toys, that should be in your consideration when you buy or make your clothing. And you think, well, what a burden. I don't want to every morning look at the mirror and make sure everything's okay. Don't worry about it. When you make a new dress, you do the check and then forget about it since after that. Unless you gain 10 pounds, 20 pounds, or you lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds. That's what I had to do with my necklines. I'd lost a lot of weight the last year, and I suddenly realized they don't pass the mark, and I had to, and as much as I hate to redo my clothing, I decided it's still worth it if I do that. And I would encourage you to go home and do this neckline check. It is very surprising how far up your necklines have to be when you stand like this and look in the mirror in order not to see inside. And another thing I would encourage you to do, if you have a feeling that you are not being modest with clothing, you go home and do the check. And God's Spirit is talking to you, not because I said anything, but if you truly feel like God's Spirit might be talking to you about a form-fitting vest or a low neckline or a tight skirt, I beg of you to go home and get rid of it at once. The longer you look over it and ponder, the fainter and fainter God's Spirit will become. And if you make definite steps immediately, that is going to really be ingrained in you. And you'll be more willing in the future to consider things. Okay, let's talk about modesty in the message of our clothing. The brightness and shininess of material. Now, this thing isn't quite as gaudy as I wanted it to because I washed it after I got it. But can you see what kind of material this is? Can you see it by the light? It's a very flashy kind of material. If you don't want to draw attention to yourself in a crowd of people, don't wear anything like this. If you want the attention to be on the Lord Jesus and in glorifying Him, never wear something that the light shades just dance around and play with. And especially if you have a shapely form, they just play shadows around over your shape. And that is something to avoid. A lot of the clothing that you buy, and I have nothing against buying clothing, but I will tell you, if you don't sell your clothing, you're going to have a much harder time buying something that's modest. A lot of the clothing that you buy, not all of it, but most of it, had a very clever designer mind behind it. Those people know that unless they appeal to the flesh, it will not sell. They will make the clothing in ways, vests, in ways that make your eyes just zoom in on personal spots, or they'll put a little hole in the blouse, you know, just right down here, and people's eyes, you can see it. I mean, I've never worn one like that, but I know, depending what I wore already, made me conscious it's immodest. If I went somewhere and immediately I saw people's eyes just zoom in on personal areas in my body. The designer knew that if he can put tucks in here or looseness here with tightness at another place, perhaps no material at certain focal spots, the eyes of others would zoom in on personal areas of your body. If you want to buy or make your own clothing, try to select patterns that will be simple and free from suggestive outlines, the focal points of breasts, hips, and legs. what do you want to be identified with? You think, okay, I will dress modestly. So you go and you buy a lot of clothing. Sometimes we are very ignorant people, and I would like to open your eyes to this. A lot of clothing can be modest, but because of what it is associated with, it gives you a bad name when you wear it. For instance, it will identify you or associate you with a certain group of people that obviously did not have connection with God. And with that, I want to just say a little bit about Western clothing. That sometimes has a way of kind of creeping in, and you think, well, it's modest, but modesty is not only in how it fits over your body, it's on who this thing is glorifying it. Is it glorifying the wild, lawless West? Or is it glorifying our Prince of Peace, the satisfier of our soul? Do you want the message of your clothes to identify you with them? Another thing, you can get very modest Indian skirts. A lot of them have designs on them. They associate you with Indians that worshipped idols and gods that were purely satanical. And if you're not careful, they're going to associate you with a group of people like that. Do you get what I'm saying? You don't want the message of your clothing to be that I am associating with people that very obviously did not love God, did not glorify God, but worshipped idols and other things, or worshipped themselves, not giving glory to Christ. Things like motorcycle gangs, wearing or buying things with fringes on the arms, long fringes. That stuff often just immediately makes people think, oh, motorcycle gangs. And the thing is, a lot of us don't think about it sometimes, and we have no idea how ridiculous this looks to people that know the world is not ignorant, and they know the message of these clothing. And here we come around with these clothing and this little veil perched on the top of our head and make ourselves totally ridiculous, even in the eyes of the world. The world is not stupid. We just might be ignorant. They know clothes give a message, and they are well aware of what that message is. Any clothing that identifies you with a bad name or brings God less glory is not proper for a princess to wear. When I was a girl, one time we had a weekend, and a lot of youth came together, sort of like a youth Bible school just over the weekend, and there were a lot of girls that slept together in one place, and it always stuck with me. This one girl had a t-shirt on for the night. And she had a big picture of herself printed on the t-shirt with, I believe, an apron on and a covering. And she was just so plain on this picture. And beside it, in hot neon colors, it said, hot stuff. It was so contradictory. I don't believe that girl knew what she was doing. I mean, I hope she didn't. But what do you think those people thought that she sent that t-shirt in to put those words on beside a picture of a girl that is supposed to be bringing glory to Christ and not to hot focal points of her body? People look at us. We profess to have the answers and peace in our hearts, but we hanker to look cool like them. And then we have our veils perched on top of our heads. They see right through us. They see that our puzzle piece is not filled. Do you think they want that? Of course not. One thing that really spoke to me, I read a story one time of a young girl, well, a bunch of young girls, I think they were nurses, and they got into this discussion. This one girl dressed very modestly, and oh, did she get fire from the other young Christians. They thought, this is ridiculous. We need to be more like the world to win the world. And this... Finally, they couldn't solve the argument, so finally they asked a non-Christian nurse that was working there. And the non-Christian nurse said, this is so ridiculous. If you have something that I don't, and you are happy with it, you will not be pursuing the same things I'm pursuing. The world knows that. Don't we know it? Okay, what about the perfume that we wear? What message are you leaving with the strong scent you leave behind you? Are you leaving the scent of a harlot? Smell me. It would feel good to be close and in my arms. Do you have the spirit of a harlot? You read some of those perfume labels, and I have nothing against having a soft, clean, wonderful, soapy smell. And even in perfume, if you want to just have the faintest touch, but not something that when you walk past something, it's just, wow, that would feel good to be close to her. You know, it's the message of a harlot that you're leaving behind you, and I really caution young princesses in the use of perfume to be careful about that. And the other side of the coin, what for message are you leaving with a strong, distasteful body odor? Are you leaving a gross, distasteful body odor behind you that anybody would not be attracted? You have to remember, you are a princess and an ambassador. You are trying to bring people into the kingdom. You go around leaving a distasteful body odor. You are totally repulsive to them, and they will not want to associate with you or with the gods that you serve. Copying fashion. Just because something is in style right now does not automatically make it wrong. This might shock you. What is criticized now may be old-fashioned in 3 years. Our focus is not on the world. It changes so drastically, continually. The world constantly changes. Just remember, when buying or making your clothes, to strive for that which is modest, quiet, and not showy, in a way that will give you protection and a good name. A lot of girls have no idea how they are ruining their names among godly young men by showing their bodies. But, looking at the other side of the coin, are the fashions ruling us? Are they our God? Are they taking us a try for happiness? What I'm trying to get you to see is, don't look at the world, what the fashions are, if it's in or if it isn't. Don't look at other people. You, when you go to make clothing or you go to buy clothing, you get something that has a meek and quiet attitude about it, not something that is going to exalt you wherever you go. People's eyes are drawn to you. You get something that's just soft and feminine, whether it's in or whether it's out, it doesn't matter, just something that is modest. Many times the things that are really modest are not in. Okay, let's talk about modesty to men. And now I'm just going to read this sheet because I wasn't sure if I could say it quite as evenly or flowing it as evenly as I could write it. Our attitude about men. Sometimes we get irked at what we call lustful men. We don't like to accept our responsibility in life, and we resent the conviction we feel about our immodesty, and we blame it all on men. We need to realize that God is a perfect God, and He makes no mistakes. He had a perfect plan in mind when He created men and women. He created men to be attracted to women. He knew that we women would often feel lonely, tired, sore, and in need of a man to love us and love taking care of us. He knew that in those times we women wouldn't want men that are calloused, indifferent, and couldn't care less about us. So He created men to be fascinated by women. They are so uniquely different from themselves. Now, a man that is in Christ has his emotions and feelings in good control. He will wait to give vent to those God-given feelings until God gives him the woman of his life. And then he will pour out his affection and fascination for her on her alone. And then there are men that are not found totally in Christ. Since they are not finding true fulfillment in Him, they will try to find it in other ways. Some try sports. Some try giving vent to lustful feelings. It's just a lot of different areas they give vent to that avenue of searching for happiness. They let their God-given feelings rule them and go totally out of the boundaries that God has given us. Their insecurities and lack of happiness spur them into dangerous roads of thoughts and actions. Can we learn to look at them through eyes of compassion instead of scorn and pray for them that God would heal their insecurities and they would learn to find fulfillment in Christ and His plan for their lives? Judge not that ye be not judged. Many times we feel judgmental towards men or boys who we claim have a lust problem and have no idea that while we are judging them, God is judging us. Are you sure the reason you struggle against men and boys that you have to dress modestly isn't because you have a spirit of a harlot that wants to be noticed, your form? He sees our own lack of true fulfillment in him and our outward manifestations of it. He sees the way we stand or where we try to stand to attract attention. He sees our tight clothing. He sees our floating eyes, our deep inside being yearning for attention. You judge him scornfully and you call him lustful. God judges you with grief in his heart and he calls you harlot. It is so easy to pick at others' faults. If we can quickly pick it up when a man or boy is lustful, check your own heart. Can you pick it up because you know the feeling yourself? There are no people you can see through more than the people that are like yourself.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 6 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at the Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.